of Bar Yochai is on page 167. Page 167. Now the big question before we begin is, why is it on one page 167? 167 is the last piyut, the last of the zemirois of Leil Shabbos. The piyutim of Leil Shabbos are divided into four parts. It's Leil Shabbos, it's Yom Shabbos, Shalosh Sudois, and Malava Malka. So if you would ask me, I would assume that Bar Yochai is in Malava Malka. That Malava Malka is about Mashiach, Kabbalah. It's the most mystical of the four. But yet, the Peter Bar Yochai is Leil Shabbos. And in fact, that touches upon where did this Peter in general, where did it come from? So believe it or not, it was not composed for Lag BaOmer. The Peter of Bar Yochai was composed in honor of Shabbos. And the first time it made its appearance, according to my sources, everything I'm telling you here is coming from the Sefer called Zmiros Shabbos, Samavur, published by the Mesifta. Today it's a cottage industry, Svarim on Zmiros Shabbos. A lot of the last couple of years, many Svarim have come out. And here, it has a lot of information. This, the first known printing of this piyut was in the year Shin Samach. Hey Alafim, Shin Samach, which is equivalent to the year 1600. The year 1600, which is 415 years ago, is the first time this piyut appeared. It was composed, we'll see the moment, it was composed by a person, his name was Shimon Lavia. Lamed Beis Yud Aleph. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Shimon Lavi. Shimon Lavi. Now, the acrostic of his name can be seen in, look at 167, the Bar Yochai, the second line, Shin, the first letter after it says Bar Yochai, Shin, Mem, Ayin, Vav, Shimon Lavi. That's the acrostic, and then that takes up nine letters, and then the last one is just an aleph, and there is no significance. Does not appear to be any significance in the last stanza. So this was originally composed in honor of Shabbos, and indeed the Sfardim, the Mekubalim, would sing this as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, just like we say Luchun Aran. No, not Zmir Shabbos. It was part what? No, I think during the whole year. I think during the whole year that part of Luchun Aran, or after they said the Mizmarim in Tehillim, and then they said Luchododi. They also would sing Friday night. Some places they sang it in the Beis HaKnesses. Some places they sang it at home. But it was part of the Kabbalah Shabbos service. It was not even part of the Zemirois of Shabbos. Over the years, somehow it was downgraded. Seemingly, what I've read, the reason why many people stopped singing was because it's too Kabbalistic. What it's what?
So here it says in the instruction, the art scroll.
Yeah. Shabbos Shalmei Asvira. Okay, that's what we do today. Okay, that's what we do today. Today it's only said during Lag BaOmer. It's said during the Asvira or the Shabbos before Lag BaOmer, the Tkuva Lag BaOmer. But originally here in this Sefer the Mesifta, it says that this was originally composed to be said B'chol Hapiyut Hespashim Eretz Yisrael Bo Hayunahagim LaOmer Al Kivrei Shel Rashbi B'chol Kabbalas Shabbos. Uve'edus asfardim gam b'chol lel Shabbos b'botei hakneses. Every Beis HaKnesses, they sang this piyut as part of Kabbalah Shabbos. And others sang it only by Iskever. This piyut was part of Kabbalah. Now why is that so? Because, I'll tell you why is this so. There are two simple reasons. That's the simple about this. Is, just like in Mokoim, in Zman, there's Kedusha Shabbos. There is the seventh day of the week is holy, Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in people is considered sacred. Rashbi is the Shabbos of humanity. There's Shabbos and Zman, there's Shabbos and Mokoim, Eretz Yisholes, Kedushas. There's the many types of Shabbos. Among mankind, an individual who achieved extreme greatness that can be called Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh, is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he is associated with the concept of Shabbos, and that's why this period in his honor was said on Shabbos. Another more practical reason is because the Gemara says there was a tekufa in time of the Tanoim when the Romans were goyzer that you're not allowed to observe Shabbos. Gesundheit. In fact, there were three things. There was Shabbos, Mila, and Nida. But one of the first thing they were goyzer, the Romans, that you're not allowed to observe is Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the one that was sent to go to the Romans to convince them to be mevatel the gezerah. We don't have the details of what exactly happened, not that I know of, but we do know that he was successful in having the Romans rescind the gezerah of not observing Shabbos. So therefore, we clowns shall owe him one. We owe him a big one. Because he was the one that was oiker, the gezerah, and therefore we compose a piyut on Shabbos in his honor. And that would logically require us the same reason we should have a piyut for a nida. Every time a nida comes out of mikvah, she should say a piyut in honor of Rashbi. He never heard of such a bizarre thing. And we should have a piyut for Rashbi by a bris milah, which we also never heard of such a thing.
Maybe that's why I have Baruch.
Shemen. So that's one of the reasons why Shemen. Shemen is Rosh Tevos, Shabbos, Nila, and Nida. That's the one why the entire piece is composed around the theme of Shemen. And again, that's why we say it on Shabbos, because Shrashbi was the one that was able, allowed us to preserve the Kedusha of Shabbos. What I've read here in this Sefer, the reason why this has not been popular to be recited on every Shabbos, because even the Mekubalim find this piyut to be a little bit over their heads. It's too Kabbalistic. And when you're reciting piyutim and zmiros, they have to have some satisfaction, at least understanding what you're saying. And when you're saying things that are over your understanding, that you have a tendency to shy away from. This piyut is already too much. It's too much, so therefore we've taken a step back and we don't abuse it. We only say it once a year, if we say it at all, at the kever, when you go to the kever of Rashbi or on Lag BaOmer.
It's
seemingly yes. What it says here is yes. That's what it says here. It says Askinu Sudasa and all those other things. Those things are within the realm of understanding. But this piyut already is off the charts. I mean, we don't understand any of it. So we don't understand this. We don't understand Askinu Sudasa. So for us, it doesn't make any bit of a difference. Okay. Let's just begin now. There are 10 stanzas. There are 10 what are called batim. I think in English we call them stanzas. And then there is the pizmoin, the refrain. So in total there are 11 lines. There is the opening line, which is not considered to be a stanza. It's called the pizmoin, because it's repeated after each individual stanza. And then there are 10 stanzas. The 10 stanzas correspond to this 10 sefirois. We are only recite 3 of the 7 of the sefirois in the 7 weeks of the sefirah. Chesed, Malchus, Hoid, Soy, those are 7. There are another 3, and these 10 piyutim, they're merumes. If you know, familiar with these in Yanim, which I have absolutely no clue what it's all about, the reason why there are 10 corresponding to these 10 series. Now, each stanza has 4 parts. If you look at each stanza, Bar Yochai, Shemen Moshachta Kodesh, number 1. Then it's Nimshachta Midas Kodesh. You look at each one, they are commas. There are 3 commas in each one, which means that each stanza is broken up into 4 parts. Now, if there are 10, that's a grand total of 40 sections. The pizmoin has 2 sections. Bar yoichoy nimshachta ashrecha, that's 1. Shemen sasa nechave recha, that's 2. So how many sections are there in total in this entire piyut? 42. 42. How many letters are there in the Shem Hashem? In the big Shem Hashem? 42. So obviously this whole thing is kula kabbalah, 10 sefirois. The pizmoin, there are 40 sections plus the 2 for grand total of 42, which corresponds to Hashem's name. These are obviously extremely mystical inyanim. Okay, now let's run through translation. The more popular Shemos. The more popular Shemos. Let's not go into the more esoteric Shemos. And the art scroll, Machzor, they show you the shame of the 42 shame. The 40. That appears to be a popular one. But, the 52 we all find for that. Whatever. Okay, Let's leave it. Let's go through the translation and a couple of short ideas. Bar Yochai. Okay, I don't know the answer to this question, but for some reason we focus on his father. His father here appears to be the Iker. The Koyach of Kedusha, we know very little about his father. I believe there's a Maimon Chazal in the Gemara. There's only one Maimon Chazal where his father was quoted. And I forgot what it was, but this is, we mentioned holding his focus on his father. At the very end, jump to the very end, the last stanza, Bar Yochai Ashrei Yoladetecha, his mother. And his mother we know nothing about. We know absolutely nothing about his mother, but it's interesting to take note that the piyut, that his greatness of Bar Yochai begins with his father and ends with his mother. The shlemus of a person is a product of a home. A home includes a mother and father, and we see here this great individual, we start with the father and we end with the mother. Okay, the piyut is Nimshachta, you have been anointed with oil. Ashrecha, and you are fortunate, or Ashrecha can mean you are praiseworthy, deserving of praise. Shemen Sason Mechaverecha, oil of delight. Now the word mei can mean this, Mechaverecha can be translated in multiple ways. It means that your friends are happy for you. The translation of piyutim, but not like the translation in Chumash and in the newspaper. It's a very complex translation. Shemen sasa mechaverecha. Here, the translation I have here says, Ashrecha shnemshachta l'gdul gedul b'shemen ha-mishcha, v'dovar zehu sason l'chaverecha, shehakol samchu b'gdul oscha. So the word sason is connected to the word mechaverecha. Your friends take great joy in witnessing your success. That and this opens up for us a very powerful limud in the Yimei HaSvira. The Yimei HaSvira is all about the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died because Shaloi Nehagu Kavoy Zelazeh. Why were they not Nehagu Zelazeh? Jealousy. Oh, you're zoicha to a simcha. You had something good happen to you. You got a good job. You did a good shidduch. You had a simcha. You married off a child. You had a baby. You're doing well. The friends are jealous, and when you're jealous, you don't treat your friend with the proper respect. Here, the opening line of this piyut of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the highlight of the Yimei HaSvira, is Shemen sason mechaverecha, nimshachta ashrecha. Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, you have succeeded. You've been anointed with the shemen hamishcha. It's as if you have been anointed with the shemen hamishcha. You're like a kohen gadol. You're like a melech, as it's going to say explicitly in the piyut as we go through the piyut. You're the kohen gadol. You're the melech. And you want to know something? We're not jealous. We're happy for you. All of your friends, who are the chaverecha? The other four students who were tutored by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim died, and he started fresh with five more Talmidim. Among them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, seemingly was the greatest of the five Talmidim. And it's as if he was anointed as the Melech, as the Kohen Gadol, all combined into one person, Nimshachta, Ashrecha. And we hear to be Misakein on Lag BaOmer, the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva have stopped dying. The shemen that you have received this anointing, it is a sasoin mechaverecha. It is a source of joy to your friends to see your success, to see you succeed. We have learned the lessons of the Yimei HaSvira. That probably is the most. This is something, the refrain. This is the refrain which repeat a million times. You'll watch the video, so you go home. Sometime later in the day to go. You can watch live. You can watch Meiron. What's going on over there? So this is the most. Shemen Sasa Mechaverecha. What are they saying? We're happy for you. We're happy. We're misaking the chait of Shaloi Nohagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh. Your shemen, your success, is sasain mechaverecha, is a source of joy for your friends. Okay, that alone is worth the whole piyut. Okay, now, why shemen? What's shemen? So we said it in the first answer. The first answer, Mr. Weiss told us the first answer, shemen is Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos, Mila, and Nida, the Gemara explicitly says that he was instrumental in being Mevatel the Gzera. Okay, another reason why we focus on Shem, the Gemara says, one of the Nihilists, there was a story, Nichlesu Rabbanon leKerem B'Yavne. The Rabban entered into Kerem B'Yavne, and they said, Asid the Torah shetashtakach miYisrael. The day will come when Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. It's a guarantee. They quote a pasuk in Navi: Hinei yom imbamnu Hashem. There will be a rav, loy rav lelechem, loy rav lemayim, but a rav ledvar Hashem. A rav means a famine. It's not available. It's not to be found. Asid the Torah shetashtakach miYisrael. It will be. We will become ignorant. Chas v'shalom. Al gets up and Mishim Bar Yochai and he says, I disagree with the Rabbanan, it will never happen. And when it says in the pasuk there will be a rav for lechem and maim, it does not mean that it will be forgotten. It means that you're not going to find clarity in Torah. Halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makom echad, but Torah chas v'shalom shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. And the Farshim explained that was the essence of his life, avoda, to reveal the tamei haTorah, the reasons for the Torah. When we talk about Kabbalah, you don't have to talk about hocus pocus. Kabbalah means the tamei haMitzvos. We want to dilute it to something that you can relate to. It means when you learn a mitzvah, there's a drush, a machshava, you can relate to the tamei haMitzvos. When Klal Yisrael will be given the pleasure in understanding the tamei haMitzvos and the pilpul in Torah, that will give them the korach never to forget the Torah. The Torah will not be dry. It won't be a dry science. It won't be boring. It will have endearment. It will have the interesting. And therefore, chas v'shalom shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. Chazal tell us that the difference between the olive and the product of the olive, namely the olive oil. The Gemara says, just like an olive causes one to forget, causes a person shikha, but olive oil, the product, it can enhance a person's mind. You can even restore things that you have forgotten 70 years ago. Something that you forgot that's dormant, it's in your mind, you learned 70 years ago by taking a little of olive oil. Obviously, we don't know what this means. I think if this really worked, the doctors would be on the case. There would be a big industry. But some Chazal say that olive oil is the koyach to restore something that you've forgotten even 70 years ago. Therefore, since the major avoda contribution, is it olive oil? You ever heard a doctor advise olive oil?
Mediterranean diet.
To drink olive oil? How much olive oil?
Don't drink it.
Can't drink olive oil.
Why not? Like castor oil.
They put it on the salad.
Oh, okay. Chazal say olive oil restores a person's mind. So therefore, what is the avodah of Rashbi? Rashbi's avodah is shaloi tishtakach Torah miYisrael. Therefore, his avod is shemen, because shemen is something which is shaloi tishtakach Torah miYisrael, and that's why nimshachta, the focus of this period is nimshachta. You have been smeared with oil, because ashrecha shemen sosem echaverecha, the shemen, the success of shemen, which is symbolic of the koyach not to forget the Torah, it will not be forgotten, is a sosen mechaverecha, is a source of great joy, mechaverecha, to all of your friends, your accomplishments, what you have done, your contribution to Klal Yisrael. Okay, now there's another interpretation, the third interpretation of why Shemen is critical to the essence of Rashbi, and it goes back to his beginning. What was the story? I actually forgot the name of the person. There were three people sitting and learning together, and they were discussing the government, the Roman government. And Rabbi Yehuda said, the Romans are incredible. Look what they have done for the world. They've built bridges. They've built roads. They've accomplished. They've created a culture, a society, an environment which we can all benefit from. They're worthy of praise, great praise. And then there was a middle. Who was the other person? There's the son. I've got the second person. The second person. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos. Gemara Masech the Shabbos. Taf Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel. And the second person said, was quiet. He says, he didn't say anything. He didn't want to give praise, and he was not critical. And then Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, there's nothing to give them praise for. Everything they do is for themselves. You know why they build the bridge? to collect taxes. Not because they want you to get to the other side. You know why they build the plaza? They build the plaza so it's a place for zaynis to hang out, so men can enjoy themselves. Everything they do is for an ulterior motive. Okay, that was the conversation. This conversation was listened into by the NSA. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. So the NSA was listening in, okay? They were listening in. They reported this to the emperor. And they said, Rabbi Yehuda, that gave high praise, gets a promotion. He's now going to be elevated to the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Mokim. Like Rosh HaMedabrim. Rabbi Yossi, that was silent. So he has to go into exile. We are going to revoke his citizenship. He has to go to Cuba. Goes to somewhere else. Out of the country. And Rabbi Shimon, that was critical, has to be executed. And that's how the story started. He went to the Beis Medrash, he hid, his wife would bring him food, then he said, who knows, they'll find my wife, they'll torture her, and then she'll reveal my location. I have no choice but to go into a cave. He went to a cave for 12 years, and then they had an extension, he filed for an extension, and he was there for an additional 13th year. And then he returned to society. How did this whole thing come about? And during those 13 years, he became who he became. Through the Yisurin that he suffered in the cave, he became the Rashbi. He became who he became. How did all of this come about? Because the nature of Rashbi is, he's not a politician. He says it the way it is. Oh, you're good. What is a politician? Rabbi Yehuda was a politician. I mean, I don't mean to say anything big, but the government, they look at beautiful bridges, beautiful roads, beautiful buildings. Yeah, but this truth to what Rabbi Shirashmi, the beautiful bridges are all, they all did it to collect taxes. The beautiful plazas are all for the zonos. Rabbi Yehuda had the koyach, he was an optimist. He looked for the good. He looked for the good. You have to. There's nothing in this world that's pure. Everything is a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So you have to focus on. You can overlook the bad. Rashbi didn't take that approach in life. He said it the way it is. Don't give them praise. Everything they do is with an ulterior motive. What is the nature of Shemen? Chazal say Shemen does not mix with any other liquids. If you try to mix oil with water, with anything, any other liquid, the Shemen will rise to the top. It does not accept dilution, does not accept any impurities. Rabbi Shimon did not take garbage. He didn't take this. Are the Romans good or they're not good? Let's no fluff. No, don't dilute. Don't confuse me with any politics. Let's just say it as it is. No need to be politically correct. His essence was Shemen, pure, not willing to bend, not being tolerant of any impurities, and that's why the focus is Nimshachta Ashrecha Shemen. You are Shemen. You represent Emes. You're not subject to compromise. You're not subject to impurity. That's why Sason. You are a source of joy. Mechaverecha to your friends. Okay, now let's go a little bit further. Let's just run through a few words with some short ideas. Maybe we can have to talk a little more of it tomorrow. Let's do this a little bit more. Bar Yochai Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, you have been anointed with holy oil. The oil that we're discussing is not ordinary oil. Nimshachta, you've been anointed Mimidas HaKodesh. Now what is Mimidas HaKodesh? It means oil that is Kabbalah. I think over here in this sefer, in the Masifta, it says that this is just a mashal. We're not dealing with real oil. We're dealing with inyane Kabbalah. The oil that you've been anointed with is holy oil, spiritual oil. Mimidas HaKodesh, from the measurements of holiness. Nosasa tzitz, you have taken upon yourself the tzitz. The kohen gadol wears the tzitz. Nezer HaKodesh, a holy crown, which alludes to the crown of the Melech. Chovush Al Roshcha, in addition to wearing the tzitz and wearing the crown of the Melech, you're also wearing a pair of tefillin. Chovush Al Roshcha, it is attached. Chovush means attached, Al Roshcha, Pe'erecha, your Pe'er. So you take this expression, it means that Rashbi, he wears three crowns. The crown of the kahuna, the crown of Malchus, and the crown of a Torah, which is Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha. Tfilin is the crown of Torah. Three crowns. The greatness of Rashbi is to wear three different things on. You can imagine the Chazal say there's only enough room on the head to wear two. Okay, but this is all Jewish. It's a very powerful idea that he wears these three different things are now the very long time. But when we talk about tefillin, there's a major theme that all of the commentators focus on when we're talking about Rashbi. Everyone is into making parallels between Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu and Shimon Bar Yochai is a very powerful thing. We'll see they both of them. They went into the rock. They went. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, "Please show me your panim." Hashem said, "I cannot show you my panim. The best I can do is show you my back, and you have to go into the cleft of a rock to see. When I pass, you'll be able." Benikvas Atzur. Where did Rashbi spend 13 years of his life? In a cave. A cave is also the equivalent of going into the cleft of a rock. Benikvas Atzur. So we have the similarity right there that both of these individuals were zoicha to exceed Hashem's glory. It was inside in the protection of a rock. Moshe in a rock and Rashbi in the rock of the cave that he spent 13 years. Now that is alluded to over here. This is the theme is that many want to suggest that Rashbi was the Hashlama, was the maturity of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not going into Kabbalah, Gilgal, Nitzitz. Let's just talk about that Rashbi was Mashlim, concluded the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim and he brought down the Torah. The primary role of Moshe was to give the world the Torah Shebichsav. And Torah Shabbat Peh, you have to see Torah Shabbat Peh also. But it was not the hidden parts, not the secrets of the Torah. Rashbi concluded Moshe Rabbeinu's mission of transmitting the Torah, bringing Torah down Shemayim, to bring down the hidden parts of the Torah, which we will loosely translate as the reasons, the Tamei HaMitzvos, the flavor of the Torah. Yeah?
Would have thought that it would be Rabbi Akiva because of the story with
yes, Georgia. Absolutely, and this also mentioned in the P.O. as we come to the end of the P.O. Rashbi said that I am the Truma of Rabbi Akiva. Rashbi says that I have everything I received from Rabbi Akiva I have improved upon and have perfected. So Rashbi in truth is an extension of Rabbi Akiva. He was Rabbi Akiva's prime Talmud and he contained the purity of Rabbi Akiva. That's what he pretty much said in his own words. And just let's just finish this idea. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Please show me your kavod." Hashem said, "I can only show you my back." And what does Rashi tell us? What does it mean back? The dalit, the kesher shel tefillin. But ponai lo yeirohu, you can't see my tefillin. Chazal tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, and what does it say that Hashem's tefillin? Umika amcha yishol goyecha baretz. In this piyut, in the very beginning of the piyut, and at the very end of the piyut, says this as well, talks about the shin of the tefillin. Rashbi seemed to have seen the front Hashem's tefillin themselves. Moshe saw the dalid, the back of the tefillin, but Rashbi attained an understanding of the ponim of the tefillin themselves. It's alluded to in two places in this piyut. In the very beginning, as we said, nosasa tzitz, you wear the tzitz, nezer hakodesh, the holy crown. The tzitz also, by the way, is called the nezer hakodesh, but it alludes also to the crown of the malchus. Chovash al roshcha pe'erecha. Peirecha, you're wearing tefillin. Whose tefillin are you wearing? You're wearing tefillin. The tefillin is the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which you merited to see. If you jump down to the very end of the piyut, I'm sorry, not the end. Give me one moment.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Where is that? Which one is that?
In the one that's bathed, Bekodesh.
Bekodesh Hakodashim Kav Yerok Bechadesh Chodashim Sheva Shabasa Sod Chamishim Kosharta Kishrei Shin Kisharecha. What's Kishrei Shin? The Shin is the bias. What's on the bias? The shin. So you have tied, the knots of the shin are your knots. In other words, you are wearing tefillin. Another reference to wearing tefillin. Why are we so fixated on Rashbi wearing tefillin? Because the wearing of the tefillin represents the full understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something which Moshe Rabbeinu began to understand by seeing the dalet, the back of the tefillin, which Rashbi was mashlim by connecting himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the tefillin themselves. Alright, there's a lot more here, so Bli Neder will continue with this tomorrow.